The issues of lead contamination in the soil affecting about 1,000 residents of the West Calumet housing complex in East Chicago continue to be near the top of the news in many places, especially here in Northwest Indiana. And it's even drawn attention from organizations outside the region lately. Newspapers like the New York Times have written stories about it. And we have with us one of the sources that have written stories as well, too. Alex Zielinski is the health reporter for thinkprogress.org. She's written two articles, one particular about East Chicago, the problem that in the headline says is poised to become the next Flint, Michigan. And the latest article has come out here in recent days about some national health organizations that are suing the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for neglecting to update the lead standards, which we know is one of the major problems dealing with the youngsters in West Calumet these days. Alex Zielinski, thanks for being with us here on Regionally Speaking.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tell us how you got your first information here about the situation in East Chicago, and if you came up here to take a look at what was actually happening around the area.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how I lucked out. I live in D.C., and so I'm far from kind of where this is actually happening, but I was tipped off by a local attorney advocate who's kind of working in the area and working with a lot of the folks who are being impacted the most, has kind of studied a lot of environmental, justice issues going on around there. And she contacted me just kind of based on the reporting I've done in the past about a few similar issues. And, you know, it kind of was a whirlwind after that, kind of calling lots of folks, making sure, I kind of had the right sources and had the story down. Since it kind of goes back many decades. And I didn't have, I had a week, and I didn't have the resources to actually fly out there and meet people. I unfortunately just kind of had a lot of good phone conversations with residents there and the mayor's office and longtime kind of advocates in the city. But of course, definitely missing the piece of actually going there. And that's, really helpful in telling the story, but I feel like the urgency, if at all, made it helpful for me just to kind of get all the voices down and get it up.
What history discoveries did you find out about the city of East Chicago in gathering your information together for your articles?
You know, I went back originally to see kind of what led to the lead and arsenic kind of poisoning on this soil, specifically in West Calumet. And of course, kind of opened a Pandora's box of the really long industrial history of that whole region, that whole area. There were at least 7 different lead smelters in the area. You know, only one was right where this housing complex was built. This isn't something that's just contained to a certain neighborhood, kind of spread all over. And of course, a lot of these industries are still there. I was looking at a map earlier, and there are at least, 8 different factories still that are within a mile radius of the housing complex today that, of course, are built on old land and old soil that belonged to other factories. And so it's kind of just like multi-layered history of industry there.
When you talk with people here in East Chicago, including city officials, to find out the latest that you use for putting your story together for thinkprogress.org, did you happen to see similarities in what you had earlier had reported in places like Flint, Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard in these cases because you don't want to compare them too much just to make it, kind of bundle them all up together and look at them as these similar things because they're each infecting these communities and really individual situations and hurting individual families. But the similarities I did see were in kind of the lack of communication that I think at least now seems to have led to this problem in the first place, and the kind of blame throwing in the way that different organizations and agencies are kind of pointing at the other, the city's pointing at the EPA, EPA's pointing at the, health department and the state and, kind of a domino effect of who's to blame. And there's still really no one is quite certain who dropped the ball, and maybe everyone dropped the ball. But what really matters is looking at the impact it's had and how the people themselves are the ones that really had no idea, no ability to even drop the ball. They just recently found out about this. So in many ways, it's very similar to what's happening, to what happened in Flint, what's still happening up there. But it's also, you know, a standalone issue.
We're talking with Alex Zielinski, who is a health reporter for thinkprogress.org. She's written articles, one in particular about the lead contamination problem in East Chicago, and another about one that's just recently happened, of a lawsuit that's been filed against the U.S. EPA by some national health organizations concerning the lead standards. And we know that's the lead standards and how they've not been updated here that have brought many people to be very, very concerned for the health of their youngsters, in particular in East Chicago here. Tell us about this lawsuit that has been filed.
Yeah, it's interesting because this came out maybe a week after I wrote about East Chicago, and it's really directly correlated. I mean, this is coming from organizations. This lawsuit comes from organizations from all over the country. There's one in California, a place in New York, in New Jersey, in the middle of America, a few spots. It's all suing the EPA specifically for not updating their standards to be in line with kind of what the rest of the federal government knows to be, you know, dangerous standards of lead toxicity. And the tricky thing is that there's really inconsistent standards among these different agencies. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they're kind of the go-to source. They're always on top of the newest research when it comes to what is dangerous, what amount of lead in the soil or in the water or, you know, what have you, is dangerous for specifically a young child who are the most susceptible to kind of, you know, the lifelong implications that come with lead exposure. And so while the CDC, you know, updated its standards within the last year or so and continues to do so, the EPA really hasn't changed its standards as what is bad when it comes to the amount of lead in soil from, you know, 2011, I think. And those standards are much more lax. They would not raise a red flag if there were toxic amounts of lead in the soil that the CDC would say is very dangerous, because they're relying on kind of outdated standards. And of course, many other authorities trust the EPA for these standards and their regulation. You know, the health departments, local health departments, local housing authorities, schools. And so these organizations are suing the EPA to say, hey, you've been kind of lying to us when it comes to what's actually dangerous. Your, you know, fellow organization, the CDC, says that what you're telling us is dangerous. Either, you know, get back up to code or explain why you're so far behind. It's just kind of one of those many inconsistencies in government agencies that lets things like this fall through the cracks.
Alex, do you think that, in your opinion, and through the research that you've done and the people you've talked to here for your articles in thinkprogress.org, that the EPA not only has not kind of kept up with things, even though they've known for decades about the contamination in East Chicago, and that they've had intentions, of course, to proclaiming many of these areas as Superfund sites, which would put them on the big list and should at least speed up the process for cleanup and remediation of the properties that are affected by all this lead contamination. But do you think that maybe that it's turned out that a case that maybe that the EPA has had less and less money to work with over the years, and they kind of push these things off to the background, so to speak?
Oh, I'm sure. I know that the EPA is always struggling with finances, and so is the country as a whole, and the federal government. So, of course, I'm certain that funding is part of it. There's never one, you know, really malicious person who's out to kind of block this information, which makes it hard to find the right person to blame, because a lot of times it's just, you know, lack of resources and, you know, miscommunication, missed wires. But at the end of the day, it comes down to kind of these decades of neglect that have really, really scared a lot of families. You know, there's 600 kids, 600 children living in this facility who have been unknowingly playing the dirt, planting food in the garden, just kind of living their day-to-day lives there for a while.
And we know, too, that this area, in particular the West Calumet housing complex area, on the site of what used to be U.S. Lead, the lead and copper smelter, that facility had been closed for nearly 70 years. I think back in the 1930s is when the business closed up there. And of course, they cleared away all the structures themselves and left the land. But that's, of course, left all the contamination, no doubt, there, too. Do you think that... although that maybe you can't necessarily point the particular blame to some of the past city administrations, if you go back beyond and before the administration of Mayor Anthony Copeland to the people that preceded him, people like Robert Pastrick, do you think that maybe they didn't keep track of things, or they might have been misled as well too?
Yeah, I mean, from what I learned in my whirlwind research was that the past three mayors before Anthony Copeland have had kind of a trying elections, and also there have had been involved with some kind of shady financial situations, and have been pretty busy with a lot of other conflicts going on, which it's hard to say that's why they ignored this. I'm sure. Many of them were kind of alerted, at least at some point, to something going on here, or knew that there was, some history of contamination. But it's also hard because, I mean, the EPA was founded 2 years before this public housing complex was built on this toxic soil. And so there really wasn't, much information as to why this is bad and why this is a dangerous place to build a housing complex and why what's even in that soil. And only now has research really caught up to let us know how dangerous this is. So, it's hard to kind of point fingers also at kind of these big decisions that were made a long time ago before a lot of this information was known.
And I imagine, too, that obviously, and you'll do so, I'm sure, in future stories as you do more research into the situation here in East Chicago. But as it turns out, too, that since the EPA has just sort of lately come into this here, at least as far as the existence of the agency, like you said, just barely before the West Calumet complex was even built. But the discovery of all the contamination and efforts to try to at least get the start to remediation, we're going to continue to see more problems.
Yeah, it's hard to say kind of how this will unfold. And I think it's, unfortunately, from what I talk to, a lot of the advocates say that, unfortunately, kind of bringing the what happened at Flint kind of to a national spotlight to actually have this addressed in Congress and have this addressed by our president and kind of top leaders, bringing this to light has kind of brought a lot of other long kind of festering lead contamination issues into the spotlight. And who knows if this, what was happening at West Calumet would have been talked about or discovered, or, someone may not have blown the alarm until later on if something like Flint has kind of set the stage for these kind of discussions.
Well, Alex Zielinski, thank you very much for spending time to talk about your articles that you did for thinkprogress.org, and we'll look forward to more articles in the weeks and months ahead as things develop here, too. And we thank you for taking time to take a look at what's happened here in Northwest Indiana and putting things in about the same light, or certainly a little closer light here, involving the agencies that may have... perhaps in some cases drop the ball, but certainly we're probably needed to look very closely at the issues maybe a lot sooner than what they had. We thank you for spending time to talk about your articles with us today.
Right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio.